Hey, David, which of the days of the week are the strongest?
I don't know which.
Saturday and Sunday. The rest are weekdays.
That's really bad.
Yeah, isn't it?
That was a really bad one.
Thank you.
Welcome to Mistakes Dads Make. I'm Nathan Hart.
And I'm David Borden.
And this is a podcast with honest conversations about fatherhood, including mistakes that dads make
and how to redeem them.
We're glad you've joined us.
Well, hello, listeners. Here we are again. And it's been just a couple weeks this time. You're welcome. We know you love this content.
We heard the cries of the people.
From our moms. Our moms. And, yeah, that's it, pretty much. Just our moms. Speaking of moms, I want to bring something up from the last episode. Mm-hmm. You mentioned, David, that one of your mistakes, one of your regrets, was missing baby Samuel's first steps of learning how to walk. And I know I put something on Facebook when I posted our episode, and your mom put a comment on my post on my Facebook wall. It was like a face palm, you know, mm-hmm. like, oh, missed his first. She was so just cringing that you missed Samuel's first
Thanks
steps.
For that.
Well, you know, Sarah, it really made me think about this, you know, because I was just thinking about this a lot, like you missing your baby's first steps. It kind of feels like a big deal right now, mm-hmm. probably to you. But I realized I missed Eva's first steps as mm-hmm. well. It's actually her birthday. It was her first birthday. She learned how to walk. I was working, mm-hmm. you know, and I was on Martha's Vineyard doing a retreat, and I got back and I saw the videos, obviously. But in hindsight, that was, you know, years ago, 11 years ago now. Mm-hmm. In hindsight, I realized it really wasn't that big of a deal. Mm. And I kind of want to tell that to your mom if she's still giving you a hard time about it.
Yeah.
But it also made me just consider some of the impossible standards mm-hmm. dads are under these days. It's like mm. we're supposed to be at work all the time, just totally slaying it at work, getting promotions and advancing our careers. And we're expected to be home for every milestone of our kids. Mm-hmm. And anything less than those two ideals is some kind of failure. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that's a fair standard. So what I'm trying to do is let you off the hook.
Thank you. Yeah.
A little bit. And I kind of wonder what you're thinking about that. How would you respond to what I just put out there?
Well, I would say not only is it a not fair standard, but it's an unachievable standard.
Mm-hmm.
It's not possible.
Right.
There's no dad that can actually do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of our lives, we try to achieve things that are impossible.
Right.
And so I would just say, you know, if the military has taught me anything, it's expectation management.
Mm.
And I think culture and social media has placed an expectation on fathers, which is not managed in any way.
Mm-hmm.
The expectation is for them to be everything all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not possible.
Right.
And it's funny you mentioned that because part of the reason I was on that flight to Lithuania mm-hmm. for the army
mm-hmm.
is because of Samuel.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm still in the army for mm-hmm. another 4 years because I transferred the GI Bill to Samuel
yeah.
to pay for his college.
Uh-huh.
And so I guess I had a choice. I could have not helped pay for his college mm-hmm. and been there for his first steps,
yeah.
or I could have done what I did
right.
and missed that moment.
Right. Yeah, you know, that's a good reminder. And I was thinking too about like a generation or two ago mm-hmm. and every generation before that,
mm-hmm.
how many working fathers witnessed their kids' first steps? Probably mm-hmm. almost none.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd come home from work one day and be like, oh, that one walks now. You know, like they didn't have to be there for every diaper change and bottle yeah. refill and milestone.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but you've also just had a good reminder. You're still in the army because you're serving his future. You're serving him in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So you're missing exactly. some of the moments now.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. You should let yourself off the hook, man.
Yeah.
I mean, would you have loved to have been? And I actually think if you listen to that episode, you're not so much regretting that particular moment, but you were using that as a signal of you may be missing,
mm-hmm.
may not be present enough for some of the things you want to be present for emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what you were getting at, right?
Yeah. And I think that's the hard part is, that's probably always going to be the case
mm-hmm.
because I'm not going to be as present as I want to be because
mm-hmm.
I have to work,
exactly.
right? And right. earn a paycheck and provide for my family. Of course, I'd love to be fully present, but it's not possible,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you expect yourself to essentially be God, right? To be omnipresent, right. Which is not possible.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, you're setting yourself up for failure, for sure. Yeah, so I appreciate that. I appreciate letting me off the hook there. And I'm sure I'm going to miss other milestones as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Samuel will be fine. Rachel will be fine.
Yeah.
And I'll be fine.
I want to give a shout out too. We've just kind of congratulated each other for, you know, not being able to live up to impossible standards. But your wife actually pointed out to me a really great thing today where she said, you know, moms have been trying to live up to impossible standards for many more years than it's kind of a new thing that dads have to be these amazing all around heroes all the time. But she was saying, she said, not to take anything away from that. She said, but you know, moms have been trying to live up to impossible standards for a long time. And I think she's really right about that. Your mom, my mom, our wives right now, they are such amazing, amazing women. And yet these days you have to be this amazing woman and look good on Instagram and have an Etsy shop where you're selling your wares, you know, and have perfectly obedient children and this and that and this. It's like, oh my gosh, what are we? And I was saying to your wife, Rachel, today, I think part of the problem is we're living in such isolation these days. You know, back in the day, women and men had a lot more community. They had a lot more conversations like what you and I are having right now. They were bowling together and, you know, walking down the sidewalk together in front of their house or sitting on the porch or whatever. A lot less of that now. So it's hard to be perfect and be isolated, which is the impossible standard for men and women right now. It's a crazy world.
Yeah, it's definitely impossible to be perfect and isolated.
Totally.
It's not possible.
Right.
It's actually
iron sharpened iron.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's almost what you're talking about is C.S. Lewis's depiction of hell in The Great Divorce. He talks about basically everyone living in isolation. You live in a community, but the building supplies are free and you can't stand your neighbors. So you always move further and further out of town. So everybody lives in their own kingdom of one, essentially.
Yeah.
And that's kind of his depiction of hell.
I mean, it kind of sounds like our neighborhood.
It does sound like our neighborhood.
I hate to say it, but these amazing homes with one or zero people in them and a lot of depression.
Yeah.
So we need to come together, folks, like the old days.
Yeah. I mean, we are designed for community. We know that. But we don't actually live into it. We miss out on community so often. And I would say, you know, thank you for letting me off the hook. But there are other times where I've been not present, where I totally should have been, right? It wasn't like the U.S. Army had ordered me to go somewhere.
Yeah.
It was like, I wanted to go to the gym and worship my idolatry of working out, you know? You got to remember, I'm not only a dad, I'm a millennial dad. What's not to throw my own generation under the bus, but...
You mean you have to keep up your image?
Keep up your image, but also it's my operating assumption is pretty much me first.
Right. Yeah.
More so.
That doesn't make you a millennial. That makes you a human.
Yeah, but more so than
the boomers. Sorry to offend most of our listening audience, but yeah, we're all that way. Every generation on some level, right?
Yeah, but I think the social media dynamic and maybe, you know, the invention of smartphones, it's made the world more about the individual.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily, I'm a product of my environment. And I think many millennials are as well. And back to that, keeping up with appearances. Yeah. You not only have to be a perfect dad, but you have to be super fit too.
Right. Oh, I fail that one. I fail that one for sure. There, you told a story the other day of something that you considered like a sort of a selfish moment. It had to do with going to Wendy's. Could you tell that story now? It's really rich.
Yeah, well, it's actually kind of connected to my workout, my fitness idolatry. You know, how could Wendy's be connected to fitness?
Yeah.
But anyway, it gets there. So a few weeks ago, we had the World Vision 6K at church. And I carried the baby around in the backpack. But before the World Vision 6K, before I went to go walk for water, for people who need clean water, I went to the gym in order
Was that the day of the Murph? Like the big,
The hero workout. Yeah. And so before worshiping Jesus, I worshiped the United States of America and nationalism. No, I'm just kidding. But so CrossFit has this thing called Hero Wads, Hero Workouts. and Lieutenant Michael Murphy, he was a Navy SEAL, and they named this workout after him. Mm-hmm. And it's a 1 mile run followed by 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats, and another mile run.
And you did all that?
Wearing a 20-pound vest.
Oh, my gosh. Sounds like a really bad morning.
So I did that in 36 minutes and 30 seconds.
Wow.
Which was the same exact time as last year. And then I came home to do the 6K. Mm-hmm. Yep. So think about that. I did that workout and then the 6K, and then I'm ravenously hungry.
I'll bet you were.
And so a year ago, like a normal human being, I would have driven to Wendy's and gotten a burger.
Yes. Baconator?
Is that a Baconator. Yeah. That was the only thing I knew could satisfy
Well deserved after all that.
My hunger.
But what's different this year?
Well, now I'm chained to a baby and my schedule is not my own.
Right.
And so it was nap time. Mm-hmm. Well, it was not nap time yet, but nap time was close. And we live 15 minutes from the closest Wendy's. Mm-hmm. So what did I do? Well, I really pushed my will upon Rachel and Samuel, and I said, we're going to Wendy's. Put them in the car. On the way to Wendy's, guess what? Samuel meltdown in the car, just screaming and crying because he's exhausted. He needs to take a nap. And but I was not turning back. We had come too far.
You needed your Baconator.
I had to double down. So we drove all the way to Wendy's. We had our Baconator. Oh, I had a Baconator. Rachel did not.
You're enjoying the taste of bacon while a one-year-old is screaming from the back seat.
The baby. No, we went inside. Okay. I took him out because I couldn't stand it any longer. Mm-hmm. And we ate inside. He stopped screaming when I gave him a few fries. but we sat there and ate our Wendy's while Rachel stewed a little bit at me for good reason.
Yes.
And while the baby was exhausted.
Yeah.
And at that moment, I realized that I was not the center of the universe yet again. I've had a few of those revelations.
So you needed a Baconator, but your son needed a nap. Mm-hmm. And you put your need above his need.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it didn't go well.
It did not go well. So that's just one of many stories that many hard lessons I've learned over the past year. He used to take two naps, which was even more complicated. Yeah. Now he just takes one.
So theologize this for me. Okay. The second half of our title is, mistakes dads make and how to redeem them. So what's the redemption out of that regret?
Well, I think the redemption is I'm learning yet again the lesson that I have to learn almost every day, that my life is not my own, right? That I don't actually belong to me. Mm-hmm. And the worst thing I can do is believe that I am the center of the universe and that everything is about me. Mm-hmm. And so each time I learn that it's not, you know, I think not only do I come closer to God, but I actually get it healthier too.
Mm-hmm. The more get you out of yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. The selfishness and the self-absorption. It's interesting because I dealt a lot with anxiety before having the baby. Some of it was connected to being deployed. And now that we have a baby, my anxiety has actually gone down.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's not really because any of my behaviors have changed. It's just because I'm thinking of myself less and I'm thinking about the baby more, thinking about Samuel more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's made those anxieties kind of diminish.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good stuff. I have a little bit of like a caution in my mind about this.
Mm-hmm.
I like everything you're saying about not making yourself the center of the universe. But what I see some parents do then is they make their kids the center of the universe. And the sort of the lesson here is that Samuel is not the center of the universe either.
Yeah, that's good.
Right. So you can't arrange your entire life. Right? We all know parents who've done that.
Yeah.
You know, and that doesn't end well.
Mm-hmm.
Just, whatever you need, whatever you want.
Yeah.
And now suddenly you're creating a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you're creating the Baconator.
That's a great lesson.
So I think maybe we said this in previous episodes, but just the reality is there is a center of the universe. It's not you. It's also not your kid.
Yeah, it's Rachel. I'm just kidding.
Yes, it's Rachel. Yeah, obviously it's Jesus. That's their Sunday school answer.
And then Rachel.
But you can see, can't you? I have a little bit of empathy, I guess, for the people who overcorrect on this.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly they just want, you know, here's an interesting, tell me if you think this is true. I knew when I worked on the North Shore of Long Island, right out of seminary, it's a mostly Jewish population.
Yeah.
And I was confused at first about why the kids were so spoiled. I mean, they, you know, like you get your driver's license and you get a Porsche. It was just immediately off the charts. And I started talking with my friend who's a rabbi. I started talking with some of the people in the community. And I heard their stories that the Holocaust was very much on a lot of their minds. Their parents had lived through it or witnessed it or whatever. And they had come out of such total abuse and deprivation that I think some of them overcorrected on this. They said, look, if my mom or uncle or aunt or whatever died in the Holocaust, I'm going to go in the opposite direction. I'm going to have every material blessing or I'm going to give every material blessing to the next generation so that they'll never have to live through something like that.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's obviously not just Jewish people. You know, I joked earlier about the baby boomers. If you think about their parents lived through World War II and how terrible that was. And then they all went home and had kids. And they had all this material blessing from winning the war in the nation's economy, and they spoiled their kids, right? And the baby boomers grew up pretty spoiled too. So it's a common pattern, I think.
Yeah,
throughout history.
You mean baby boomers? They're not perfect. I'm just kidding.
Both our sets of parents are boomers, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. The same age.
Well,
so that's one of my mistakes. Yeah. Yeah, let me hear yours.
Okay. So last episode, I talked about a financial mistake of the taxes.
Yep. I remember that. It was painful.
I made another financial mistake. And I got a dog for the family. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hear me. Okay. Because do you realize how many people I've offended on this episode so far? I'm like bringing out everybody. Dog lovers, I'm about to offend them. No. Bringing the dog into the household has so far been an overall net positive, I think. Not because it's all cuddly snuggles all day long. She's a pain in the butt, right? We've got a trainer and we're trying to put her in line. But the reason I said it's a financial mistake was I had absolutely no idea all the costs associated with dog ownership. You know, we got a rescue dog, so it was, you know, only like a $500 adoption fee as opposed to like a $3,000 purebred. So I was like, I'm saving all this money. We're going to get a rescue dog, $500. I can handle that. No.
It's just a one-time fee.
It's
right?
like a club membership. It's like an initiation fee. You're paying money in order to pay more money. I mean, the invisible fence came first, you know, the vet visits, the trainer. I mean, she chewed on this thing that gave her a splinter that went into her gums that got infected and her eye was like, oh, it was horrible. And they had to put her under, you know, you put a dog under at the vet in Greenwich, Connecticut. That's a $600 bill just to put him under.
My goodness.
It's been crazy. It's been like one bill after another, after another. And then the trainer, I called this trainer. Everybody recommended this one trainer, you know, and I'm on the phone with him and he's telling me your dog's going to change. You know, we're going to be there for 2 hours, one visit, 2 hours.
How much?
Your dog's going to change. You know, he's telling me all these ways. Does your dog jump? Does your dog nip? Does your dog pull on the leash? That's all going to change when we're there for those 2 hours, blah, blah, blah. I'm just waiting. Just give me the bottom line, dude. And one time fee, $29.99. $2,999 for a one-time visit. Yeah, my jaw drops.
Oh,
I'm like,
goodness.
And then he says, I have to warn you, we're pretty booked up right now. Our next appointment is in November.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so that means a lot of people are paying that.
He's making $1,500 an hour.
Yeah.
Man, I went in the wrong line of business.
So I was like, I'm going to have to talk to my wife. That's a little more than we were thinking that we would spend. And hung up the phone, you know, and didn't call him back. I found a much cheaper one, but it's still a ton of money. It's not $3,000, but it's still, anyway, I'm going on and on, obviously. I love this dog. It's actually a net positive. I really do think it's a net positive, but I had no idea how much money I was going to spend on this thing. So if anyone out there is wondering, like, should we get a dog?
The answer is no.
Well, the answer is just look at your budget and see if it can handle hundreds, if not thousands of dollars.
So what I'm hearing from the tax mistake and the dog mistake is they both are really rooted in finances. So you want to talk a little more about that?
Not in front of our listeners. We can go there. We can explore that. I have some emotional wounding, I think, from like 25 years ago, probably, that still is like a motivator,
mm-hmm.
you know, like sometimes our old deep down wounds,
mm-hmm.
they're like fuel to a flame,
mm-hmm.
right? So you get these, the flame is the reaction.
Mm-hmm.
It's the behavior, but it all comes from somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, I watched my own household, household of origin, my mm-hmm. parents, they went through, you know, a financially hard time. They're mm-hmm. doing great now, but they went through it. And I was really jarred by that. I was impressionable. I was in mm-hmm. college and it really kind of rocked my world.
Yeah.
And I think there's still a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, they talk about when you speak vows to yourself,
mm-hmm.
like when you have a wounding or an incident when you're young
mm-hmm.
and you say to yourself, I will never
mm-hmm.
or I will always.
Mm-hmm.
And you're speaking vows to yourself. And I think I spoke some vows in that moment.
Yeah.
I watched my parents go through that and the pain they went through. And I said to myself, I will never, you know,
mm-hmm.
make a financial mistake or whatever, which is obviously an back to impossible mm-hmm. standards. So I think to this day, yeah, when you get a tax bill like I got, or when you get a surprise vet bill or whatever,
yeah,
it kind of touches that old mm-hmm. wound, you know? And yeah, I know I'm being real vulnerable right now, but maybe there's other people out there listening who have an old wound. Maybe mm-hmm. it's financial, maybe it's otherwise. Mm-hmm. And you realize, I think I'm a little surprised actually that I'm in my 40s and it's still affecting
and me. Still dealing with it. Yeah,
because to be honest with you, we can afford the tax bill and we can afford
the dog,
the vet bill. So mm-hmm. it's not really about, this is not breaking us,
mm-hmm.
but it's touching an emotional place.
So how, let's go a little one layer deeper. How do you think Great. These vows have affected your parenting, and have they had a big impact on your parenting?
I don't like that question because I don't like the answer.
So the answer is obviously yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think I mention in front of my kids what things cost.
Mm-hmm.
I mention, you know, basically I'm coming from a fearful place.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, like my kids don't even need to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Like they hear me say what I just said to you about how expensive the dog is.
The bill.
And I'm just thinking right now, I'm just kind of thinking this out loud. This dog is a gift for my daughter, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
She loves this thing. And yet she hears her dad basically mm-hmm. complain about how much it costs.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a great signal I want her
mm-hmm.
to receive.
Yeah.
So I'm just really feeling convicted right now.
Yeah.
I should probably just shut up about cost of the dog.
No, that's really good, because I think a lot of us men, I think women do this too, obviously, but we make vows,
yeah,
whether knowingly or unknowingly,
mm-hmm.
and those vows do affect the way we view the world, the way we our marriages go, the way we parent,
mm-hmm.
and one step in really getting healing is just being aware of those vows.
Yeah. You know? Do you have any from your past?
I don't know. I'm trying to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a couple sin patterns in my family
mm-hmm.
that I vowed against.
In a good way.
Yeah, in a good way, but in some ways I feel like it can be self-righteous.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like on my dad's side, my dad broke the cycle of being an alcoholic mm-hmm. and a womanizer, right? He hasn't cheated on my mom, and I've never seen him drink a drop of alcohol.
Wow.
But his dad did,
mm-hmm.
and his dad did, and his dad did all those things. And so I've said to myself, I will never cheat on Rachel, and mm-hmm. I will never become an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
But in some ways, I almost feel like because I know my heart is deceitful, I feel like it's almost like a self-righteous denial. As soon as you say I'll never do something, it's almost like you've taken a step towards doing it in a way.
Hmm.
And the Lord is really highlighting that to me now, because I think I'm much more, especially with the alcohol thing,
mm-hmm.
I definitely have a propensity to drink too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I've limited my alcohol intake. I drink one day a month.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
One day a month. That's all I drink.
Mm-hmm.
And that's partly because I am what Paul would say is the weaker brother, I think.
Mm-hmm. You know that if you did it more than that, you'd start doing it every day.
Yeah.
So I think you might need to unpack what you said a minute ago. There might be somebody confused about mm-hmm. what you said, where when you tell yourself, I'll never,
yeah,
you're one step closer to actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe that a little more?
Well, I think the danger is that when you make a vow, it's about you. It's not necessarily about God.
Mm.
And one thing we come to find as Christians is that we're not very good at fighting the sin battle, the
right.
battle with things that are not good for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul says in Romans 7, you know, I do these things that I hate, you know, and his solution isn't, I'm going to try harder. His solution is, who will free me from this
exactly.
body of death?
Yeah.
Praise be to God, you know, through
yeah.
Jesus Christ, my Lord, he's the only one.
Yeah.
And so I think the vows are kind of circumventing
mm-hmm.
the only thing that can actually bring true freedom, right? Like the best way to be free from alcoholic tendencies and womanizing tendencies is to seek Jesus first.
Mm-hmm.
Is not to say I'm not going to do these things,
mm-hmm.
you know? Does that make sense?
Totally.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the, like you said in Romans 7, who will rescue me?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking also of that hymn, I need thee every hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like instead of saying, from now on, I will never... blah, 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 for the remainder of my life. Like,
yeah.
okay, that's good.
Yeah,
actually.
You're halfway there, maybe.
It's good.
yeah.
But maybe another way to say it is, this is a goal of mine,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to rely upon
mm-hmm.
my Savior every mm-hmm. hour, every time I'm feeling tempted.
Mm-hmm.
I need thee every hour. I need
mm-hmm.
thee every situation. And so, Lord,
yeah.
will you come draw near to me
uh-huh.
if and when I'm ever tempted? Like, that's not a vow. That's
mm-hmm.
a... declaration of relationship with the one
yeah.
who can rescue you
mm-hmm.
out.
And I think about this in my parenting too, is what do I want to model for Samuel? Do I want to model a life of white knuckling it?
Right.
Of being really what a legalist saying,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Samuel, don't smoke, don't drink, don't chew, don't hang out with girls that do and be tired, exhausted.
Right.
And have no joy, or am I going to model a life where I seek Christ first?
Right. And he watches you do that, even when you make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
This goes all the way back to episode one with the tattoo.
It does, yeah.
Full circle, baby. Well, that's maybe a good note to end
yeah.
on, unless there's another thing you wanted to bring up.
No, I think that was good.
I did want to say, we had said last episode that the next episode was going to be an interview with that author. Stay tuned. That's coming in July.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to get this episode out before we had to wait for that one. So thanks so much, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, listeners.
God bless.
Thank you for listening to Mistakes Dads Make. Please take a moment and rate this podcast wherever you found it and share it with a friend. We'll see you next time.